What is up, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Apple, Spotify, and everyone tuned in on the Texas Sports Unfiltered app? Welcome in to another edition of Bunky and BK live on Texas Sports Unfiltered and on the free TSU app. Today is Tuesday, January 6th, 2026, and the Buck and I are with you for the next 2 hours. On today's show, the Texas Longhorns picked up another transfer yesterday. We'll tell you all about what tight end Michael Massounas is going to bring to the Longhorns. Plus, have the Horns pivoted on their search for a new running back? The latest rumors, news, notes, and nuggets from around the portal, both for the Texas Longhorns and all across the country. We've got some NFL news to get into. How about four coaches getting fired on Black Monday in the National Football League? We'll talk about that, plus a pretty intriguing Cowboys mock draft and some early thoughts on Super Wild Card Weekend. Texas basketball is back in action tonight, taking on a familiar foe, the Longhorns, traveling to Tennessee to take on Rick Barnes and the Volunteers. We will preview that matchup. And a couple of not-so-good restaurant-related stories from the great state of Texas to get to. Plenty of sports, plenty of fun, and a lot going on over the next couple of hours right here on Bucky and BK. We appreciate y'all starting your Tuesdays with us. How are you this morning, my man?
I'm good. It's another beautiful morning. Going to be a beautiful day. Low 80s today. Good golf day. Get out there and get it done. I got to bring my weight up. I need to bring my scores down for the new year. So I'm doing a little bit more work down on the putting green in my net, getting some stuff done. Also doing a lot of yard work, a lot of stuff in the yard right now. It's that in-between time that, you know, you don't want to start cutting stuff up because the winter hasn't hit your plants yet. You start putting, you know, new cuts on your plants, and all of a sudden a freeze hits them, they're going to suffer. So, and my cat has been missing for over 24 hours now.
Oh, no.
One of the two babies are missing, so it's kind of sad around here. When that happens, that generally means if your cat's missing for about 2 or 3 days, and you've been used to seeing your cat around after they've reached a certain age, that means they went on the other side of the fence. And how many times have I tell you not to cross the street? Don't cross the street, cat. Stay on this side of the fence or on the other side where the farm area is over there, you know, where the dog can be heard and seen and everything else. You cross the street on the other side where there's woods, there's coyotes, there's big raccoons, there's, you know, and my cats aren't these big, like, alley cat looking things. They're, you know, they're fed well. And, you know, they come up, they know a couple times a day, you'll see them around on the porch looking for their meal. But my gray cat is missing in action, as my wife is so upset. I mean, you could just, I mean, trying to talk to her now is like, you know, I had a cat that I had for 18 years, was an outdoor cat. And it just started getting lazy. You know, it just was old, and it would start to lay up against the garage door. And so I know how the coyotes were out. And, you know, my old place out there in Cedar Valley there where I was the mayor, but the coyotes didn't care if I was the mayor or not. And they finally, I knew they got that cat laying up there sleeping against that door. They surrounded it and got it. But this one's a young one. This was only like 5 years old. You know, we raised that cat inside and brought him outside. But this one's the kind of roamer, kind of I'm cuckoo, you know. The other one is sitting up there right now. I hadn't left the porch in 2 days.
You gave him the Sean Miller speech.
I gave him the Sean, don't you dare cross that street. And I, you know, every time we do the show, I look out and I see the cat walking down the side of the street here on the other side of the fence. Well, the coyotes don't care. They'll come out in the middle of the day.
Oh, yeah.
They get to you. They don't care. They roam this area all the time.
They got
to
eat too.
They like cat. I like cat. They like cat. I mean, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah, the coyotes and us have something in common, huh?
Yeah, so I think she got. Mm. I was asking my wife, I said, what do you think? We need to get a new one? She goes, first of all, the one that's five would tear a baby apart, you know, not being around. Or like if Louis saw a little thing like that running around, he would grab it by the and just throw it, thinking it's like a toy, and that would be it. So
did y'all go buy that cat, or I thought outdoor cats just kind of show up at your door and then you
know we went to somebody that had some kittens. Gotcha. And then got them spayed, neutered, and all that stuff, and kept them inside for a year until they got a little bit bigger, and then they understood how to get around. But I didn't have this crazy dog at that time either.
Yeah.
And this dog right here, if you just paws at a kitten, it'll kill it.
But he didn't go after the cats.
Oh, no, he'd go after the, if the cats would leave the porch and start to run, he would try to get them. But they looked at it, he'd go up a tree and just look at him, you idiot. Can't get up this tree. Or they'd go through the fence and go on the other side where the farmer's thing was. But one cat down, and no, we're not replacing. This is not the time of my life. It's time to replace things, you know, like parts of my body. Like, hey, take this, do this. I'm like, no, let's do some other things first before you start taking parts out and putting stuff in. So that's
it. I'm holding out hope that the cat shows up.
I am too. I mean, I've been around this these cats. When it's gone 3 days, they disappear. Somebody may have seen them and took them inside in their place.
Sure.
You know, or whatever, but it's been a long time since that's happened. They're 5 years old now, so they don't generally go inside to anybody's place. If you leave food outside, they'll do it, but they won't come in. Now, they'll come in here. Now, my wife asked me yesterday, should I let the other cat inside? I'm like, hell no. Not all of a sudden having an indoor cat that was an outdoor cat. Cat will tear this place apart.
Right. That cat doesn't want that, and you don't want that.
And what about Zach inside with that cat? Can you imagine that?
Oh, my gosh. A little tiny dog.
Oh, no. And she's talking about getting another Zach when the time. I'm like, no, we're too old. Oh, we don't need another. And we don't need another anything.
There's not enough Advil in the world to deal with another Zach with the way that guy yaps.
We just need another day. That's all we're looking for, other days. We're not looking for other animals. Good morning to soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so very much for what you do. We do appreciate it. We appreciate you, and we appreciate your family sharing you with all of us. And to all of you out there, please be safe.
Yeah, I like those New Year's resolutions. Higher weight, lower scores, and more days.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm looking for, more days.
The goals of the buck in 2026. No tip for kids today. You told me that's coming back tomorrow.
Yeah, Dripping will, Bussy will show up again tomorrow. I haven't seen Bussy. So we'll, somebody on the text line, Dakota text line said yesterday, the Drip will be back in school tomorrow. How about that? Love that. Riding Wednesday. That's kind of cool. That's smart maneuver. Dripping Springs School District.
As a student, I'd prefer a Friday start. As a parent.
A Friday start? No, a Friday start, huh?
Yeah, as a parent, you'd prefer the Monday start. Like,
for sure.
It's been enough time with you kids the last few weeks. Get your ass back at school.
And when does college go back? Next week?
2 weeks.
Two more weeks?
2 weeks from today, because that's the day after Martin Luther King Day.
My goodness.
Yeah. So you got a few more weeks of winter break for the college students. That's the best part of being a college kid is that you get that like 5 week long winter break. Can't beat it. So congrats to you college kids out there. Also, yeah, just congrats for being in college. Best 4 years of your life or five.
Okay, how are you feeling? You feeling from your travels?
Yeah, maybe coming down with a little something, something.
Oh, you told me you touch a lot of people. I asked you if somebody touched you. You said you touch a lot. That's kind of scary.
I'm an impactful guy, Buck. Yeah. I touch a lot of people out there. And I don't know. I mean, I got back 5 days ago on the 1st. So I guess it's a possibility that it was travel related, but it could just be weather or allergy related here. I don't know. It's not too bad. Last night wasn't feeling great. This morning, not feeling great. I'll rub some dirt on it, sleep it off. We'll be.
Yeah, I kind of always know what it is that makes me, you know, because I'll never have the flu, but I can get the common cold. And I've not had that since COVID. I haven't been sick since COVID. Once again, I'm on a pretty good streak right now. I'm not even having a cold.
Let's keep that going. Yeah, stay away from me then.
The deal is, you know, when I got sick, I remember being in DFW and somebody sneezed in their hands and put their hand on the rail going up, you know, the little monorail deal. Mm-hmm. And I went right up the rail and had my hand on it because I'm old and I like to have my balance. I stuck my hand on that same rail. And now I know it goes over and over and over or whatever, but that thing slid from that person right on down to me. And my hand's still on it.
That's great.
When you're in airports, you got to wash your hands all the time. Nick.
All the time. Yep.
Yeah. It's
every hand sanitizer station they have, you got to use.
Yeah. And I would suggest that may be my tip tomorrow for kids. Wash your filthy hands again. Let's go. Let's not all of a sudden stop doing that.
That's a good one.
You know, it's time to start. It is kind of time to wash your filthy hands again. I mean, I'm going in the HEB and mom's got kids and they're picking their nose and doing, I'm like, come on. Then touching the fruit. I mean, really?
As long as you don't live at my place, because the water was shut off for 12 more hours yesterday.
What are they doing there? You guys got some bad pipes going on.
Yeah, I got to start laying some more pipes, I guess.
You need to talk to them about that. That's over the last couple of months you've had a shutdown, right?
It's terrible. I mean, I've lived at probably 10 apartment complexes in my life, and this one has had 10 times the amount of water issues that anyone else has had. Yeah. So it's back on, thankfully, so we're okay.
Good.
All right, let's talk some Texas football, shall we? Yesterday, the Longhorns picked up a commitment from the transfer portal, landing former Michigan State tight end Michael Massounis. Of course, Jack Hendrys announced that he was departing for the NFL draft over the weekend, so the Longhorns were in need of a tight end. They may be looking for another tight end, but they did pick up a commitment from Massounis yesterday. 6'5", about 260 pounds, spent 3 years at Michigan State. 19 catches, 232 yards, and 3 touchdowns this past year. Not super gaudy statistics, but Buck, he's not being brought in here to be what Jack Hendrys was and be a big time pass catcher. This guy is an old school inline blocking tight end. He's going to get nasty. He's going to get physical. And, you know, Steve Sarkisian loves 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends.
Yes.
He couldn't really run that this year because Texas didn't have any tight ends who can block. So it was a big priority for Steve Sarkisian to try to find at least one more tight end who he felt good about as a blocker, but Massounis also gives you a little something in the passing game as well. So this is not the highest rated transfer that Texas will bring in, but a guy who fills a very important role for this team in 2026.
I mean, he's a veteran player with experience.
Right. Yeah. 3 years at Michigan State, and this past year, 2025, was by far and away his most productive, and he played more this season than he did in his first 2 years. But yeah, you know, Big Ten experience. And a guy who I think 96% of his snaps this year were on the line of scrimmage. So you think nowadays you see a lot of tight ends flexed out to try to get those one-on-one matchups in the passing game. That's not really what Michael Massounis is about. He is, again, you just put him in a three-point stance and, you know, he can help with run blocking, but also he can help with pass blocking too. Like that's something that Steve Sarkisian and so many other offensive coaches like to incorporate, right? Those max protect plays where
they don't want to bring a tackle in. They don't want to show you that what they're doing. They want their tight end to be able to handle some guys. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. And that's, you know, there are a bunch of teams around the country that have 6 or 7 offensive linemen on the field at the same time to help with blocking. Sure. Now, last year, Texas didn't have 5 offensive linemen that were good enough to block. And they didn't have any tight ends who could block all that well. And yeah, this guy is going to help with your run blocking. He's going to help with your pass blocking to, you know, give Arch Manning some more time on those longer developing routes down the field. And again, 19 catches, 3 receiving touchdowns this past year. He gives you a little spunk in the passing game too.
It may help you in the scoring zone. Doesn't hurt you to have a guy like that who can run block and get loose down the middle a little bit. What's the bad news? Who left?
Well, Jack Hendrys is the guy who left.
I mean, none of the young guys decided since they went out and got another guy that I need to get out of here?
No, that hasn't happened yet. And I call Jack Hendrys a big-time pass catcher. I mean, he had 56 catches at Cal 2 years ago. He was brought in to be a big-time pass catcher.
Right. They didn't find out he was actually playing on the team until 3 games left in the season.
Right. Yeah, no, it wasn't the year we wanted Jack Hendrys to have, and I would have loved for him to come back, but he's off to the NFL, so that ship has sailed. But yeah, like, Jack Hendrys had 33 catches for 346 yards this season. I don't think Michael Massounis is going to put up those numbers. Just letting you know right now. That's not what he's being brought in to do. And think of Spencer Shannon, who is a blocking first tight end. I thought Spencer Shannon had a really good game against Michigan last week. But Spencer Shannon, Buck, he had 0 targets this year. So anytime that guy was on the field, opposing defenses knew he wasn't going to be a threat on offense. It's like, that guy's in the block. We don't have to worry about him. We don't have to game plan for him. He is just there to block. With Massounis, there's at least that threat of, no, we got to pay attention to this guy because he could leak out into the flat and
right.
catch a pass and turn it upfield and go for a few yards.
Yeah, hopefully he's not, like they use with Jack Injury, he's not your screen guy that you dump the ball off to a 260-pound guy like that. Now some middle screens maybe if you need 7 yards.
Yeah, he's one of those like, oh, shit, you want to keep a defense honest. Hey, that guy can actually do something.
Yes. But
yeah, you're not game planning your passing game around Michael Masunas. That's just not the type of player that he is.
No, I just like the fact that they went out and got another veteran tight end. That's fine.
Yeah, I did too. I mean, and I'm not sure if they're done, right? Like, I could see Texas going out and trying to get more of a pass-catching threat at tight end.
Because, yeah, then I see some people packing their bags.
Well, maybe. And it goes back to the whole debate of how, when now are you trying to be in 2026?
Well, you are definitely when in 2026. There's no – you got to make every effort you can to do that.
So, yeah, the combination of Jordan Washington, Spencer Shannon, Nick Townsend, and Amari Winston, those guys combined for 11 catches.
Holy shit, I've never seen a place that has more tight ends and wide receivers. Well, they got more tight ends and running backs, that's for sure.
We've become the Chicago Bears here.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I guess like the non – I can't dunk on the Bears anymore because they're pretty good, but we become like the Bears from before Ben Johnson got there where we just stockpile tight ends who aren't all that good.
Yeah. They had like 6 guys. I'm like, who is that guy? Mm-hmm. They didn't get any receivers, but they kept bringing in tight ends.
They just load up on the tight ends in Bear country. And that's what Texas is doing. So, look, I think there's some bright futures for those guys. Like Nick Townsend is a guy I'm really excited about. We've talked about him a lot. Again, he was not an early enrollee last year. So he was a bit behind the eight ball because he wasn't there for spring practice.
Sure.
Had to learn the offense, and I think he was a step behind because of that. I think he's the most talented of those younger tight ends, but he had 2 catches this season. So is the coaching staff ready in a must-win year, Arch Manning's likely final year on the 40 acres, to say, yeah, he's our number one pass-catching threat at tight end a year after 2 receptions?
Man, yeah, that's kind of tough. Yeah.
That's the scary part right there. So it's, do you trust the combination of all of those young guys, your favorite player, Hammer Hands, Jordan Washington, like 7 catches this year, but also I think 17 drops. Do you trust that dude to take the next step, or are you looking for another reinforcement in the portal?
Well, I wish they had a tight ends coach, but the tight ends coach is also the special teams coach, and there's enough duties there. We know that in the special teams, so that's just, I don't know. The year before, I mean, they already had a self-made tight end. I don't think Banks helped out the dude that ended up with the Titans catch all these passes. I think he was just a self-made guy. We saw him the year before that when we thought he would come into his own. So now I'm thinking, I don't know. Somebody needs to, these guys need to be coached. The ones that are there now, Hammer Hands and all of that. That scares me. Because that guy's very involved with working with, you know, with special teams. But I don't know how you have it. You can only have so many coaches.
Right. Yeah. And it's funny. Like, you know, Jack Injuries was at Cal in 24. And it's like, well, assuredly he's getting better quarterback play at Texas in 25. But his quarterback at Cal ended up winning the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, that's right. Think about that.
Oh, no, he actually had some pretty good quarterback play the year before. And, Arch Manning Arch Manning was awesome down the stretch. I mean, his last 8 games were just.
Well, he wasn't really, you know, they talked about him being part of, they never really talked about him being part of the game plan. That's the thing. And we only saw him in like the last four games do anything that they made it look like he was part of the game plan. He really never. You know, Sark never said, oh, we want to use the tight end, and here's what we're going to do. He never said that. He was busy talking about his wide receivers that couldn't catch.
Right. And it's interesting. I guess it's worth bringing up, and a difference between this offseason and last, Jack Injuries was another guy who was not here for the spring. Remember last year you had 2 transfer portal windows. He was one of the post-spring portal guys. So that maybe had him behind the eight ball a little bit. And I mean, we're beating a dead horse because Jack Injuries is gone. But this year, just 1 portal window, So Mesunis and any potential other tight end, and obviously a Cam Coleman or somebody else, all those guys are going to be here for winter workouts, and more importantly.
Well, who cares? If Mesunis is on the field a lot and he's the best of the blockers and the best of the catchers, that's what you're looking for. You know, it's not like you don't need a better blocker at the tight end position either. You could always use that. A kid that played in the Big Ten with the experience that he has, why not?
Right.
This team can use all the blocking can you get.
And again, like for me, the biggest, I think for you, knowing you as long as I have, the biggest priority for Texas this offseason is fixing the run game.
Yes.
So you're telling me this guy could come in and help you fix the run game. Okay. I'm all for it. It's Michael Mesut. Like, you're not paying this guy $1 million to be here. You're giving him probably a small six figs, and you're saying, hey, man, come fix our blocking game, and we'll give you a couple of catches, and you get to graduate from the University of Texas. Congratulations.
Yes.
Like, this is a low risk.
And here's the quarterback you have going into your last year.
Right. That helps, too. That helps, too. So it's all about finding a way to get this run game going. And look, we talked about it. I couldn't stand when Texas went heavy personnel. I couldn't stand when they had two tight ends on the field because those guys weren't good. Like, the receivers were so much better. Obviously, if you have an extra tight end on the field, that means you have one fewer wide receiver on the field. And it's like, oh, put Livingston or Moore out there instead of Hammer Hands because that guy can't catch.
Yeah, so it's like,
I know how much Sark wants to do 12 personnel. Not just at Texas. Every year he's been an offensive mind. He's wanted that to be a staple of what he does. And this past year, he just couldn't do it because his tight ends weren't good enough.
Yeah, well, he's going to have a veteran, and then he's going to have a couple, you know, very similar to what he had last year, a veteran, but some young guys still that have to be developed. Or, hell, you don't need three or four of those guys that are young, but they're not going to be anything. I mean, what are you going to spend 4 years developing one guy for the final year? I don't think so. I mean, those guys have to get good in a hurry. This spring is an important year, you know, important spring for all of those young tight ends.
Yeah, definitely. It is. And again, I'm not sure. I haven't heard to this point any actual names of other tight ends that Texas is going after. I've just heard speculation that the Longhorns could be going after one more. But obviously, they've got a number of bigger needs to fill right now.
Yeah, but when you can get one, like I said, good tight ends are – you know, we've seen them come out of college ranks and get into the NFL and look fantastic in their first couple of years. I mean, if you find one of those, Montana State, you know, how that happens, North Dakota State guys all of a sudden show up and they are fabulous. You hit on one of those guys, that's a big deal in your passing game. Yeah. It's huge in your passing game, especially if you don't get that top-notch receiver that you're looking for. Your tight end's got to come up with 40-some catches somehow, you know?
It'd be nice. Yeah. And again, Nick Townsend is the most likely of everybody that's in that room right now.
Well, he moves. He has the lateral movement and the quickness like a big tight end would. Like, Hammer Hands looks like a guy who just needs to be on the end of the line. You know, half tight end, half tackle.
Hammer Hands, no disrespect to him, I don't think this is his fault. I think this is the school's fault. Hammer Hands needs to be on Jenny Craig this offseason.
Yeah, he got too big too quick.
Sorry to hit you with this morning.
Fat.
But
he wasn't me, Jay. That wasn't me.
I know. No, I'll take the blame for that one. And again, I'm not blaming the kid. I think, like, they told him to put on a lot of weight. They wanted him to put on that weight. And he looked slow and he couldn't block. What's the point of putting on all that weight if you can't block, to me? He made himself less effective as a receiver and he didn't do anything as a blocker. So I don't know if I want Jordan Washington playing at 260 next year.
Hey, but go ahead and bulk Michael Terry. Go ahead and bulk that dude up. He's got 50 different positions he plays.
Maybe he could be there, right? Maybe that's the long-term plan for him. And then for Nick Townsend,
he'd have to be the passing guy. That guy wouldn't be able to block anybody.
Now, considering he was a running back and a receiver in high school,
they'd run right through him. Plus, he'd have to be at least, you know, 235, 240. What is he? He was weighing like 212 or something like that.
I think around 215 is where.
Now, that's a lot of weight to throw on yourself here in a matter of months.
That is. Yeah.
But he plays every other position. I mean, they got him as, you know, the king of every position. So
I don't know what Michael Terry's future is. I mean, five-star athlete out of high school. I'd like for them to find a future for
him. If they need a running back, they can go ahead and give that one up.
Yeah, that one carry he had against Michigan.
Folded up like an accordion.
It was one carry, but it did leave a little bit to be desired, for sure.
Yeah, that's you know, you got to go ahead and find a spot for a kid like that. If he's going to be your special, if he's going to be your fullback type, then he can put on a couple more pounds and be that straight line blocker. If you want to just line up offset eye and let's go downhill at some times where you're not trying to trick him and just saying, hey, we got a pretty good left side over here. My tackle's coming back. The left side of the line is okay. Let's just take this guy. We can put him in motion and we can send him in counter plays to cut off guys. Well, hell, Jack Injuries was doing that. He was the guy who was cutting off backside blocks.
Yeah.
And getting mauled a lot of times. So this kid will be big enough to do that type of thing. Then every once in a while you give him a bone. Here's a carry here or there. It's not a big game. Here's a carry. You get 2 yards. You fall down forward. Okay, thanks a lot. Now get your face back in there blocking. But you can't keep looking for spots for him. You know, you can't spend, this year he's that, next year he's that, the next year he's that. Find a spot and give him some specialized plays. You can make. If he's a running back and you think he's a running back, you ought to be able to catch. He must have some ability to slide out in the flat, you know, on those third, you know, when you see the Kansas City Chiefs, you know what they're going to run. They're going to send the fullback in the flat and they're going to dump it to him for a first down. No matter, even if you know it, it's coming. And here it comes.
This is an apples to oranges comparison, and it's probably not worth bringing up.
They send some guys out in the flat. I mean, NFL teams send fullbacks and guys out into the flat.
Sure.
And if you're that kind of an athlete, five star, we'll put you somewhere. Then you can run 3 yards and slant to the out and catch a ball in your hands and fall down for a first down. I think
we haven't seen much fullback play in Sark's first 5 years, so I don't think we're all of a sudden going to see that in year six. Could be wrong. Maybe that's the plan for Michael Terry. Like the last guy, again, apples to oranges here, Buck, but the last guy who couldn't find a position was Ryan Niblett. And then they put him at punt returner and he was an All-American this year. Now, still doesn't have a huge role on offense or defense, but like some guys are just such good athletes that, okay, carve something out, find a way.
I'm trying to give him a way out right here. I'm giving him a niche.
That's it. Yeah. And maybe it is at running back, right? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. He wasn't recruited as a running back, but he did some of that in high school. So maybe they try him there. Now, that's not going to stop Texas from trying to bring in probably two tailbacks from the portal. So he's going to be buried on the depth chart.
Yeah. Remember, I was the extra point kicker and field goal kicker in high school, too. So think about it. With a square toe. I mean,
you
really
think Michael Terry should try kicking.
That's probably going to be next for him.
Right. Yeah.
No, you can find a role. I mean, those are guys you find roles for. This is what you do. And teams see him in the game and they still can't stop him. You know, he gets a one-on-one. Dude, that's a big part of what he can do. But they're not going to line him up there in the gun behind the quarterback or that offset deal with the quarterback and just hand him the ball. He's not that kind of runner.
All right. And again, you know, 2026.
Well, who knows? They got a new running back coach. Maybe he can change. Maybe he can change the fate of some of these guys.
Maybe. Yeah, I'll be interested to see if Terry stays at running back or if that was a move that was just made in a pinch because, you know, Jarrett Gibson left midseason and obviously they had a few guys leave before the bowl game. I don't know. We'll find out. But curious. There's money to be made at tight end. He could maybe flip over to defense. I don't know what the plan is for him. But I hope there is some sort of plan.
Well, they got enough guys that we need to see. We need to see the baseball player get more involved. But what you said, he's not going to be there because his time is getting ready to come to an end.
Right.
With the football stuff again, you know. And he didn't get, you know, he ended up with soft tissue deal when he finally got back to football season. So, at wear and tear, there's a lot of baseball games, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, Jonah Williams dealt with some injuries during baseball season last year that obviously leaked into football season too. So,
and he may, as much as he wants to be a two-way guy, may end up being a baseball player. I mean, his success may be at that sport.
Maybe. I mean, he is a monster on the football field too. We're talking about a former top 10 football recruit in America. I mean, I watched that guy play at Galveston Bowl a couple of times. Like he is a special talent. So He doesn't want to pigeonhole himself. I don't want to pigeonhole him anywhere, but yeah, we'll see. Hopefully he can find a way to do both and stay healthy, but that's obviously a big ask when you're playing.
That's a lot on his body. Yes, it is.
He might be the starting center fielder for Jim Schlossnagel's group this year. Right. Might be the leadoff hitter for the Texas baseball team this year. And then
base stealer and everything else.
Right. Right. And then he's, you know, he's not going to be a starting safety, but in a perfect world, he is a big time contributor at safety when we get to the fall. So yeah, he's another one. I mean, there's so many guys from that top ranked 2025 class who just didn't do a whole lot. And it's fine. I mean, Texas had enough talent. You don't close the book on anybody.
Right. But, oh no.
You know, you spent a lot of money to get those guys. So you would like to see your investment give you some return. And the hope is that year two could be the time when those guys find some sort of role and become key contributors.
That's what I said. When you start talking about the running back coming in here as a freshman, you know, I know you won't lean on you're thinking, I'm not going to lean on a freshman. Dude, if they're good enough, they're old enough.
Here we go, Diddy.
Hey, kids, if you're good enough, you're old enough. That's just the way it goes. This is big-time college football, and if you're a five-star running back and you get to the campus, you ought to be able to push everybody on that campus. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's the starter, and you definitely should be pushing the number two dude about his gig if you're a five-star and a great one that everybody wants, yeah. You know?
Look, I do think Texas has a much better running backs coach with Jabbar Jalouk compared to what they had with Chad Scott. But, I'm a little hesitant in win now years to just say, all right, freshman, you're the guy. But who knows? Maybe Derek Cooper gets to campus and he's the best guy that they have in that room. And
dude, they almost ought to know that now. After and looking at what they have, they ought to know that immediately. Well, they ought to see that guy walking on the field or in winter workouts and know that guy's better than that guy right over there. And that guy over there has already played a bunch of football.
Yeah, we'll see.
But they don't really have a guy that's played a bunch of football at that position. They have guys who's played in games, but he doesn't have a lot of experience. So it shouldn't be that hard if you're a great freshman coming in here.
Yeah, we'll give the latest on Texas's search for a new running back in the transfer portal and just continue the Texas football conversation here in a moment. But before we get to that, how about another round of sponsor shout-outs?
Folks, relax the back. I love relax the back. I'm sitting in my relax the back chair. I'm playing a round of golf today, and I needed to get in this chair because I've been watching sports in the big taco over there for the last 2 weeks. Bad on my part. Just too lazy to move this big old chair around, or I need to get some money so I can get a recliner. BK needs to give me some more money so I can buy one of those relax-a-back recliners for my back. And then I don't have to move anything. The recliner's sitting right there. But I love this chair for sitting here doing 2 hours and hanging out with you folks. But at Relax-A-Back, they have everything that you're looking for, all kinds of accessories that are going to fit whatever is bothering you, whether it's your lumbar, your thoracic, your shoulders, your hips. At the Relax-A-Back store, they have accessories that will fit anybody, believe me. They got the vibrating ball. They've got it all. Zero gravity recliners, of course, Tempur-Pedic pillows, mattresses, the whole works. You're going to be happier. Your body's going to feel happier also. Two great locations at the Hill Country Galleria across from Whole Foods and in North Austin at the Gateway Shopping Center right across the street from the Container Store. Live pain-free like the buck and relax the back.
Yes, indeed. Love Relax the Back. Love my Relax the Back chair. And check it out, Buck.
Oh, baby. Look at that.
We've got the banana cream Olipop.
Being creamed with banana, not just cream, but banana cream.
Banana cream. What do you think this tastes like?
Like a milkshake, like a banana milkshake, probably.
Not like a banana cream pie.
I'm not a banana cream pie guy.
Okay. You are a cream pie guy, correct?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, always have been. All right. So I promised a taste test yesterday. So now we have it today. One of the more than 20 flavors of Olipop.
Let's just look at the surprise on your face when it hits your palate.
I've never tried. I haven't tried this one. And look, I don't like all the flavors. I'll be real with y'all, right? Not every flavor is for everybody.
That's right.
There's one that I do like, and y'all see me drink the stuff all the time. So we'll see the banana cream Olipop going in. Ooh.
Not overwhelming banana taste.
No. Wow. I mean, It really does taste like a banana cream pie.
Nice.
Like, you should add the word pie. Maybe they were just worried about cream pie jokes, so they didn't. This is good. Like, it's not going to be my go-to flavor of Olipop. It's not in my top three or five, but, like, this is solid.
Your cherry cola.
If you are a fan of banana cream pie, like, get you one of these. This is good. So, shout out to Olipop. Again, so many flavors to choose from. Great tasting soda that's actually good for you. The easiest New Year's resolution of all time. Pick some up at HEB, Costco, Whole Foods, Walmart, Target, wherever you buy your groceries. Next time you shop, make sure you shop Olipop.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to. I'm having to drink more Olipop because I am now going to decaf coffee. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Got restrictions of the veins, so you got to be careful. You got to try something different. Get caffeine. I got to lower my caffeine a little bit.
Oh my God, dude! There is no point in drinking decaf.
I know. I did. I started it yesterday. And I got a Starbucks decaf. I could tell the difference, but it doesn't. Like I said, coffee doesn't do anything to me. It doesn't help my bowels. It doesn't stop my bowels. It doesn't stuff my bowels. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't keep me awake. It doesn't. If I drink a cup of coffee and I want to go to bed, I'll go to bed and sleep. It just doesn't do. It's just a habit. And so if I'm going to do a habit that could possibly be just a little something and restricting some of my blood flow, then I got to try it. Just decaf with cream, but I can taste the difference.
You can taste the difference.
I can taste the difference in decaf than I can in caffeinated stuff. But it's not going to throw me off. Once again, it's just a habit. That's all it is. There's no benefits to me going to Starbucks and giving them like almost $4 a day. There's really no benefits of that. It doesn't like, hey, I got to have that, you know, or I'll drink a cup of coffee before the show starts. Like, oh, that's going to keep me inspired and ready to go. It doesn't do stuff in that stuff for me. I don't feel it like that. All I'm going to do now is because I'm off the caffeine is get a bunch of headaches until I get used to doing decaf. I'm going to pay the price for not having that caffeine. I know that'll happen to me.
Dude, there are no benefits to drinking decaf.
None?
I mean, I don't like the taste of coffee. I just drink it because I need the caffeine to get me going. And I'm not
it works that way for you.
Yeah, I'm not a morning dude. The first 30 years of my life, I didn't touch coffee. I didn't need it. And then I got a girlfriend and now I need it. I think that's what that's what caused it. But like, I don't like the taste of coffee. I just, all right, I power through it because I need the caffeine. I don't drink it before our show. I drink it at like 10 o'clock. Like, I'm good. I got enough juice in the morning, but just working with you tires me out. Now, I don't know what it is.
That'll do it.
But yeah, decaf, like, dude, I don't think I've ever had decaf in my life. I thought it was supposed to taste the exact same, which is why I'm surprised
it doesn't
difference. But I would never touch that, dude. There's no point. Drink Olipop if you're not drinking the caffeine. Drink something that tastes better.
Yeah, I have to. If I'm not, yeah, that just like, you know, and I put cream in the decaf, so you know what that's like. Ugh.
Yeah, I don't know what that's like, actually.
No, I'm not a cowboy. I'm not the cow. I don't drink black coffee, just straight up black coffee. You're talking about a river runs through me. That will go through me. And the stuff from Starbucks, you drink just their regular pike with no cream in it. Oh, my God. So I've given up that. No sweet teas. I went into Verde's yesterday. The guy goes, like a big old iced sweet tea. And I said, sorry, no sweet tea, just a big old thing of water. I drank 60 ounces of water yesterday. Oh, my God. I still feel bloated.
Is it worth it, man? I mean, I know you're trying to be healthy, and as you get older, you got to take care of this stuff, but don't you want to go out doing what you love?
I don't want to go out grabbing my heart and rolling around on the ground either, yeah, out in the grass.
That's fair. That is fair. Yeah.
Did I tell you, I don't know if I told my, I did take another tumble the other day.
Oh, no.
The dog got in the way, and I went down shoulder first. And the watch went off, and the dog wouldn't let me up.
Oh, my God. He wouldn't let me up.
I was trying to roll, because, you know, this thing starts making it sound like, do you need help? Do you need help? And you got, like, 2 minutes. So if you don't give them any movement, so I'm just waving my hands in the air. I'm out in the driveway there with the stones there. I'm not out where the people see me out front, but I'm in the side. And I'm waving my hands to keep the watch going, you know? Let's go. So no EMS shows up. and I'm trying to get the dog, and he's like laying on me. He's like putting his paws on me. I'm like, dude, I got to get up. Please get the hell away from me. So I take a rock and I hit him with a rock.
Oh my God. You hit your dog with a rock?
I said, like, get out of here, Lou. I threw a stone at him. He took off and I finally rolled up and then the watch stopped. So it lets you know that you're okay. I love this watch though, but I tripped messing around with that dog. He's just damn it. See the cats. I don't have that problem with the cats. They won't come near you like that. They don't go between your legs, but this big animal, and he gets to go on a walk every day now. My wife walks him.
Oh, my gosh.
But she walks him in the dark. She won't walk this dude when there's other people walking their dogs. She's afraid of the attack factor with him because if he wants to pull her and drag her down the street to get to some other dog, he can. And he knows that.
That is great. You don't trip and fall into some cat. You trip and fall into the dog, it seems.
Yeah. And he doesn't let you up. What an animal.
That's great. Well, glad you're okay. And
I'm good to go. I'm good to go. Kept my head out of it. Did the, you know, the old school hit, you know, roll that shoulder, hit on the left shoulder. Don't stick your arm out, dislocate. Don't break anything. Shoulder's good enough. Your side is good enough. Your hips can take it. You know, I try to tell Tua that, you know, Tua has been pretty good lately, although they're trying to get rid of him now.
Yeah. Well, Tua has been healthy, but maybe that's the problem because he sucks.
Quinn Ewers. Too much ball school, not enough throw school.
The Quinn Ewers show in South Beach. Played pretty well his last three games of the year.
How did that work last week? What did they get beat by with the Patriots?
A lot.
Yeah.
But Quinn Ewers, I thought, looked pretty good.
But his coach still has a job, right?
His coach still has a job. Yeah, Mike McDaniel is coming back for 2026.
I'm trying to figure out when Sark's name is going to come up for the New York Football Giants job.
I mean, Sark's name, well, Aggies and Sooners put Sark's names up for every job out there.
Yeah.
I saw some Aggie yesterday be like, I've been told that Steve Sarkisian's going to take the Raiders job, and he's trying to convince Arch Manning to go pro so he could draft him with the number one overall pick.
Ooh, there's one. I didn't hear that.
There's a new.
I don't think he wants to go. Even his crazier mood, he wouldn't do that, I think. The Raiders, there to that. That's a madhouse.
No, he's not going anywhere. And look, if I was an Aggie or a Sooner fan and I was watching Sark kick my team's ass every year, I would also be doing whatever I could to try to get him out of Austin, Texas. So I don't blame them for feeling that way.
Yeah, but the Dolphins still are keeping that dude.
He's back for another year. Yep. They said he's coming back. There were a bunch of coaches who got fired yesterday, and we'll talk more about them in hour number two. But we'll see what the Dolphins do. I mean, Tua is not going to return to Miami next season. So
yeah, that's a lot of money. That's like almost $60 million on that deal with him.
Right, worth it to get rid of him. There's just no point in keeping a bad quarterback around if you just know he's not good enough. And look at the Broncos, right? They had that god-awful Russell Wilson deal. They got out of it. They paid a lot of money for him to leave. And then a couple years later, they draft Bo Nix. Now they're the number one seed in the AFC. So you could turn your fortunes around pretty quickly unless Jerry Jones is running your team, even if you're in a tough financial situation like that. So I just wonder if Quinn Ewers is going to get a chance next year or if Mike McDaniel is like, dog, I'm trying to not get fired. I can't bank on like a seventh rounder going in.
Yeah, dude, I cannot get fired. You're right. And you're absolutely right about I can't bank on a seventh rounder going into my final year. I think that's exactly right. I don't know if he'll do that. He'll end up finding somebody and with more experience. Quinn Ewers will be the backup to start. But if things get screwy in the first couple games, he'll have to make a move because that's his ass then. That's the head coach's deal now.
And Dolphins fans, I mean, I watched a decent amount of Quinn Ewers play, but it was more so on Red Zone and a couple of highlights. But Dolphins fans on social media, a lot of them were excited with what they saw from Quinn Ewers, thinking that there's maybe something there and it's worth seeing if he can be the guy. But I just, I don't know.
No, I didn't see much of him. How is he in the pocket? Much better?
Yeah, I mean, he looked comfortable. Wasn't taking a lot of shots down the field, a lot of check downs, and maybe that was part of the game plan, or maybe he
got rid of the ball in time in a hurry. He knew who he's throwing to. He got it to him.
Yeah, I mean, not the gaudiest of numbers. Like, 66% completion percentage, which is really good. 7.5 yards per attempt, which is okay. Three touchdowns, three interceptions. One of his interceptions was off of a receiver's hands. Okay. I mean, again, it wasn't like, oh my God, like he's clearly the answer. And we just stumbled into the steal of the draft, but it wasn't like, oh, he looks totally lost out there. And that's why he fell to the seventh round. So
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, he's going to be on the Dolphins next year. The question is, do they make him the starter or is he just QB2? Cause they bring somebody else in who's more proven.
Yeah. I can see, the Ravens coach headed to New York. That seems to make more sense with a young quarterback like that. Like when Lamar was good and he was healthy for the first couple of years until he just started to break down because of all of his running. And even when he couldn't throw, Harbaugh survived with that dude. I could see Harbaugh going with Jackson, with Dart.
And then, to this point, John Harbaugh still has a job in Baltimore. We'll see if that stays the case. Harbaugh's been there for 18 years, so this would be
– haven't canned his ass yet?
Haven't canned him. Mm-mm. Huh. So, four coaches did get canned, but John Harbaugh, not one of them. But there's plenty of rumors about Harbaugh being gone. And, you know, if that guy wants to coach next year, he'll be able to coach next year. He's done more than enough to get a gig. And maybe the Giants look to
– that just seems – I mean, right there. He's right on the East Coast. He's right there. They've seen enough of him. You know,
but the Giants suck, so I don't know why he would take that job. Then again,
they have a quarterback of the future. They have a guy, you know, you got a chance when you have a quarterback. I mean, even my Vi Queens have a chance because they got a young quarterback, and the Giants do have a young quarterback.
Your Vi Queens are already talking about moving on from JJ McCarthy. You guys don't have a young quarterback. That guy's, I mean. Maybe you don't.
He gets hurt too. He's a little fella.
He's not very good. Also, that's the bigger issue there. But then again, you look at the jobs that are open right now: Tennessee, the Giants, Cleveland, Atlanta, Arizona, Vegas. Wow. These are all bad franchises that don't win a whole lot. Most of them have bad ownership too. So I don't know if any coach is like chomping at the bit. I get it. There's only 32 openings, so someone will take all of those jobs. That's how it always works. But I don't know if I'm John Harbaugh, I guess I'm hoping I get to stay with Lamar Jackson as my quarterback.
Yeah, so you can have him for six games during the year.
Yeah, well, that's fair too. All right, so we'll get into more of that in a little bit. But I do want to talk about the Texas Longhorns search for a new running back.
Nice.
Still no word on Jaden Ball. He has yet to enter the portal. He has also yet to say that he is not entering the portal.
Boy, they must have some kind of package there for him.
You know, it's interesting. Like I talked to four people in the last 2 days about this, and two of them were like, oh, it's a good thing that Jaden Ball hasn't said anything yet. And the other two are like, yeah, the longer this thing goes, the less likely it is that Texas is able to get him. So I don't know what to believe. I was scavenging some Florida insider sites yesterday, and I read that, you know, new Florida coach John Summerall and their new running backs coach, the guy who replaced Jabbar Jalouk, they are having daily conversations with Jaden Ball and his family to try to convince him to stick around. And obviously Texas, you know, legally can't do that right now because Ball is not in the portal. So
daily conversations. I'm having sleepovers. That's the sleepover time.
You're doing the Jim Harbaugh sleepover. Oh, hell
yeah. That's sleepover times.
Dog, if I'm a college kid and an old white dude is trying to sleep at my place, I am transferring out of there as fast as I can. That would not work for me. And you know, I also read that Jaden Ball is kind of monitoring what Florida does in the portal. I mean, they had a bad offensive line this year, just like Texas. Part of the reason why, you know, they suck so bad and fired their coach. So they're pretty active looking for offensive linemen in the portal. Maybe Jaden Ball is kind of monitoring to see what they do there.
No doubt.
But yeah, look, I still think Florida has the leg up here. I think they have to at this point, but he could put all of this to bed, Buck. He could have done it yesterday, the day before that. He could do it today and say, I am staying at Florida. He could give the Wolf of Wall Street, I'm not effing leaving speech. And then, all right, Texas has no choice but to move on. So until that happens, I guess there's a glimmer of hope that Ball could be coming. And I think it's Florida or Texas. Like, I know for a while Ohio State was like kind of being talked about, and Georgia was kind of being talked about. I think this is a two horse race between Florida and Texas. And, you know, the question is, I mean, you know, Texas is having back channel conversations with his agent. Like, does Texas make Jaden Ball an offer that he can't refuse? Because that may be what this thing is coming down to. So how desperate is Texas to go get Jaden Ball? Are they willing to just say, hey, yeah, we know Florida's offering you this, but we're going to do that?
Well, Texas, like everybody else, has other needs also. But this truly is a huge need when you have a quarterback like you have. You got to go have a running game to go along with it. Mm-hmm. But you have to have some offensive linemen to go along with that. And if you spend all your money on that running back and you bring back the same sluggos, I'd be fine. I'd be fine with that.
Well, you know,
that guy can make that happen for another yard and a half, even if you brought back the same sluggos.
No, you have to bring in portal offensive linemen.
I'm just saying, that guy can make it happen behind a group that kind of did get better as the season went on at the end.
Well, yeah, but
you're not trying to get a little bit better. You're trying to get to a national championship game.
Yeah, that, but also you're losing DJ Campbell, who was, you know, one of your more solid offensive linemen this year. And you're
He wasn't great.
No, of course he wasn't great, but I mean, he wasn't horrible. He wasn't the worst guy you had there. You're losing Cole Hudson, who was your best left guard. He was not great at all. I don't know if he was even that good. But you're losing him, too. So you can't just run it back with the same guys that you have because they're not all eligible to return anyways. But, yeah, no, paying Jaden Ball and not paying offensive linemen to transfer here is
– Well, I'm not saying not pay any offensive linemen. I mean,
you just said run it back with what you have, no?
Well, I mean, if you have some guys that you can plug and play in there, but you're still going to have to go out and get at least two guys.
Okay, yeah. Give me two guys,
but you're not going to – I don't know if you're going to be paying $800,000, $1 million for just – I mean, what kind of – you got to get a quality offensive lineman for that kind of money.
Yeah, you're not paying that much for a guard. Like that's right. Just not the going rate for that position. So, yeah, I mean, look, paying Jaden Ball and not addressing the offensive line is like buying a Ferrari when you live in a trailer park. You know, it's just like, what are you doing? So they've got to get offensive linemen too. The problem is, and Texas isn't the only team dealing with this right now, but because Texas is going after Cam Coleman, who's the top player in the portal, who's going to command probably more money than any non-quarterback this offseason, and Jaden Ball, who you know is not in the portal at all, but he would command a hefty chunk of money, more than any other running back if he decided to enter. Like, Texas is almost being held hostage right now by those guys because – look, if Texas gets Cam Coleman, that's $2.5 million they can't spend on anybody else.
True.
If Cam Coleman's not coming to Texas, the best thing that could ever happen to Texas is if Cam Coleman in 2 minutes says that he's going to Alabama or somewhere else. Right. So then Texas knows, all right, we now have $2.5-3 million, whatever our offer was to Cam Coleman to play with to go get some other guys. The problem with what's happening is you literally have no idea what you can spend on because you have a finite amount of money. And until you know what your biggest fish are going to do.
Does anybody know if those guys have the same kind of agent? Because those two bargaining chips right there are huge. I wonder if they have the same representation.
I don't think they do. I do know, you know, Cam Coleman, I think his agent lives in Texas. And I think there's a strong belief that Cam Coleman's going to end up in the state of Texas, right? Apparently USC is out. USC was a team linked to Cam Coleman. Apparently, I don't know if Coleman told them no, but I read overnight that SC is no longer an option there. Alabama is trying to get a visit on the books. To this point, Cam Coleman has been to Austin and College Station, and I know the Yormarkers, the Texters out in Lubbock, they are also in on Cam Coleman, and I think they've got a visit scheduled sometime this week. So it may be a three-horse race between those three Texas teams right now. But yeah, I mean, you don't know what you can spend on because that's clearly the guy Texas wants the most and they got to save the money for him.
Yeah.
Remember, some jabronis out there said Texas told Parker Livingston to leave because they had to pay Cam Coleman. It's not true, but they are going hard after Cam Coleman. That is very true. So
yeah, but you got to start, you know, as time goes on, you're going to have to, I mean, you can wait, but how long can you wait?
Exactly. That's the tough part. And to me, Jaden Ball is a bigger priority than Cam Coleman. Like, Texas, they can have Ryan Wingo, Emmett Mosley, and bring in solid receiver from the portal, plus sure. the young guys that they have going into year two. That's still going to be a very good wide receiver room. The running back room, as it stands, is like, I don't know what you have. I think Derek Cooper could be great. I liked what Christian Clark did in the Cheez-It Bowl, but you got to find a running back.
We're talking about a group that gets hurt whenever they just take the practice field. I mean, that's that you're missing. You start missing guys there. Hell, then you can't. Then you're one. You can't afford to have anybody hurt.
Right.
You have to go through a spring and a summer practice without getting anybody hurt. That doesn't sound right. That you know that's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think Texas is getting two running backs either way.
Yeah,
like you said, they need bodies. But like Jaden Ball, I don't think Jaden Ball would be as expensive as Cam Coleman, but I don't think they'd be too far off.
No.
Like, again, Ball's not in the portal, so until he enters, none of this really matters. But if I had to pick one of those two guys to have on Texas's roster this fall, it would be Jaden Ball.
Yes.
But again, they can't, you know, they're clearly waiting.
I understand why. When I said that, I don't mean you can neglect the offensive line. You have to. You've got to find a right tackle. You got to find a left guard, you know. But they don't have to be the greatest in the world. They just have to be able to get in front of people and do some things. They just can't pass out after the ball is snapped. You know, they can't fall asleep or cross the street when they're told not to cross the street.
Right.
Or they need to learn a snap count, things like that, you know. Right.
Yeah. Now they need upgrades on the offensive line. And I think they're okay at right tackle with Brandon Baker, but
if it doesn't happen, they can't try to tell us, oh, we're okay. Here's the young guys that we brought in. Here's what we're going to do. No. I won't fall for that from the head coach or the offensive line coach. So get ready. If you don't get the quality of guys, if you just get somebody from down the road that doesn't have a bunch of experience and they're just looking for a couple bodies, and they don't go spend some money on some decent guys, don't buy that. I'm not going to buy that. Oh, we have people in the program. We just need to coach them up. I'm not buying that one.
No, nobody is. I mean, they tried that last year and it didn't work.
Yes, they did.
Like they bet on themselves. You know, Texas brought in no running backs and no offensive linemen in the portal last year.
Correct.
And that was the worst part of the Texas offense. They bet on themselves. They thought, you know, hey, we could lose Jaden Blue. And we could lose four starters on the offensive line and everything's going to be all right. Bob Marley, three little birds, not the case at all. So they're not going to be allowed to do that this year and just say, nah, you know what? We trust Kyle Flood to develop our guys in house.
Oh God, no.
And we trust that our running game is perfectly fine with Christian Clark and Derek Cooper and James Simon. That's not going to fly.
Shit, I forgot. That's right. It's not just Derek Cooper. There is not another veteran back in that backfield.
Well, Christian Clark is the closest thing you have.
That's what I'm saying. After him, you go to Cooper, then you go to a guy who is just going to be a sophomore, a freshman, a sophomore. And what is Clark? Just a sophomore himself?
Clark will be a redshirt sophomore.
Wow.
James Simon will be a redshirt freshman. He didn't play in enough games to lose his redshirt. So
that's for
freshman.
Sure. We never saw him.
And then you've got Derek Cooper, who will be a true freshman. Jet Walker, who will be a true freshman.
Okay.
And again, you know, Michael Terry, Ryan Niblett, if those guys are in there, you've got them as well.
There's always Ryan Niblett. That's right. You can always fall back on that one.
There's always Ryan Niblett right there.
Yeah, always Ryan Niblett.
Yeah, don't forget. There's always money in the banana stand, as they say in Arrested Development. There's always Ryan Niblett, as you say, in the Texas running back room.
Yeah, I mean, it's important. I mean, that offensive line stuff is way more important than I'm making it seem like, you know.
Yeah,
I know you need that running back, but you need to have that offensive line.
Your running back is super important, but the most important person on your team is Arch Manning.
Yeah, and you can't afford to get him knocked out.
I would like Arch Manning to play in 15 or 16 games next year.
Yes. For sure.
And having an offensive line that keeps him upright and allows him to do that is
yes,
very, very important.
No doubt.
All right. We'll get back into this. Again, a couple more running back names to know. We'll get you that, plus some updates on a few more visitors on campus. Got some NFL to talk about. We got some Texas basketball to get into as the Longhorns are back in action this evening. But before we dive deep into hour number two, about a few more sponsor shout outs.
Shout out our friends over at Sue Patrick, of course, with the incredible selection of Texas Longhorn apparel, which I've got on today, collectibles, accessories. They've got everything you need. Tons of Texas themed items and books and gifts. You name it, a wide variety of men's and women's clothing, hats, caps, polos. They've got everything that you're looking for at Sue Patrick, of course. And they've got the wonderful books there. Admiral William McRaven's books. I'm done. I've done all three.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
I'm done. Yes, all three of his books so far. I've read every one except for the children's book. And that one will take me at least a year to get to. Sort of like the Cat in the Hat. So, but I want to thank Jay for getting me those books. I love those books. Great, great books by Admiral William McRaven for sure. Sue Patrick offers free shipping on online orders of $59 or more. Free curbside pickups, of course. 5222 Bernard Road is the location, and plenty of parking right there at their facility, folks. You don't have to go blocks and blocks. It's right there for everything that you need, all your Longhorn needs at Sue Patrick's. Go to SuePatrick.com for more information.
Yes, indeed. Love Sue Patrick. Also love our guy Tom McKay over at Audiovisual Consultations. How about a word from the crew at AVC?
Hi, this is Tom McKay, owner of Audiovisual Consultations. We've been providing custom electronic systems for Central Texas for more than 36 years.
And old man, I think they all know who you are and what your company does. This is Camilla McKay. The old man believes in big fun and big ideas. He can make dreams come true, so why not dream big? I've been up in Boston, but I know the old man and all his friends and fellow radio heads have been spreading the holiday spirit here in Texas. Why should we stop there? Keep spreading the good feelings all over. Audiovisual Consultations carries all major brands of televisions and stereo equipment at prices you can't find in stores. And you don't have to leave your house. Just like Santa, they deliver the gifts to you.
Yeah, I like that, kid. Throw a party, hang out with your friends, catch a concert.
That's all fun and good, but can we get back to the business? You can give us a call at 512-255-8678 or visit our website at avconsultations.com for some cool electronics.
Oh, now you're forgetting something.
And as always, hug your kids. We only pretend to be annoyed. Watch some games with your friends and make love to whoever the hell you want.
Thank you. Loving that. Be checking out my big screen. Looking forward to the Masters and the golf season as I lower my golf scores this year. Also, our friends at Woods Comfort Systems, folks. Going to rain on Friday, BK, not Thursday. Rain's coming on Friday. Okay. We're going to push it back a day a little bit. But it's going to be beautiful weather throughout the remainder of this week, folks. That air conditioner is going to crank on, and you want it to crank on properly. You don't have to be like BK calling up for assistance every couple of hours. I need water. I need air. I need heat. I need plumbing. You can get it all done at Woods Comfort Systems, folks. Their technicians will come out. They come to my house twice a year. Love what they do. And I'm all set for no matter what happens. If it turned winter tomorrow, my heater would crank on with no problems, thanks to the great folks at Woods Comfort Systems. They've been doing it for close to 70 years in Central Texas, and nobody does it better.
You're right. WoodsComfortSystems.com or give them a call, 512-842-5066. And speaking of nobody doing it better, nobody makes beer better than Altstadt.
Yeah, there you go.
The Altstadt Brewery down there in Fredericksburg, right in the heart of the beautiful Central Texas Hill Country. They're brewing up incredible beers each and every day, and they're available all over the Lone Star State. It's my choice of beer. It's the only beer that I drink these days. If I go to a place and they don't have Altstadt, I'm either leaving or really I'm switching to liquor. But I'm not drinking another bad beer, man. I'm just not doing it. There's too much bad beer out there. Altstadt is incredible. It is a German-style beer brewed right here in our own backyard. They've got an award-winning lager. They've got an award-winning Kolsch. They've got a Hefeweizen. They've got a great light beer if you're trying to cut down on the calories in the new year. They've got tons of seasonal brews as well. Something for every beer drinker out there. Telling y'all, one sip and you will not go back to the other beers that you have been drinking in the past. Get you some any liquor store, any grocery store around Texas, or in any bar or restaurant. It is Altstadt beer. No impurities, no regrets.